It's weird because I'm getting some of these, but I don't really completely get what's going on. But I'm in touch with my nanny. She was my nanny. I call her Shul Shul because when we were growing up, she kept saying, sure, sure, sure. And I just started calling her whatever I did.
Cute.
But she re-entered my life around this period and, you know, created this room in her house for me.
Oh,
and
it kept
filling up with things like that I remembered. And she's like, oh, you know, I just saved it from the house. And I'm like, wow, thank you so much. And God, she's my second mom. She's my rock. She's the reason I do everything. And, you know, fast forward 10 months or so toward the end of the second year of school, I remember going back to her house around my birthday. And she was like, you know, we've got to talk about something. So she sat me down and like pulled out this jar. And I was like, I just started crying because I knew what it was. And she was holding my grandmother's remains.
Aww.
And I'm like, where did you get this? And I was hyper close. Like, my grandmother was my world.
That's me.
And she starts sobbing too. Aww. And she's like, I didn't want to tell you, but she had literally, you guys, and I'm not exaggerating, Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday, gone to the district and the state's flea markets and swap meets to find the vendors that were selling my stuff. Oh. And she was buying them back that year. And she bought...
What a good human.
It was amazing. Like, and that was like...
an amazing soul.
Yeah. That was this defining moment of like, I didn't all of a sudden feel like I was bawling, but I felt so lucky that I can't even tell you. It was like this euphoric state of like, epiphany or something where I was like, wow, for that to be happening and you to be that amazing, like, I can't wait to show you guys, you, everybody, why you believed in me. And it was this weird pivot from like, I felt so lonely, obviously, and depressed that year. One of my aunts recommended, obviously, therapy. So I was in like the school therapy counseling office often. But this moment, I was like, whoa, this was self-generated gratitude.
Yeah.
And it led to all these, you know, this other mentality. So yeah, it was so crazy. But, you know, everything becomes normal and everything becomes, like, once you accept it, it becomes the way it is. So
it's like the new normal.
Exactly. So after that, it became actually a lot easier and a little bit comical. I think I've always tried to bring light to situations that comedy.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm getting a photo of, you know, this jewelry box from eighth grade with our initials, you know, my first like love or whatever. Do you want this? I'm now able to like shop on my phone from swap meets every day.
Right.
And that becomes hilarious in itself.
Right.
And it becomes the new normal in this weird way. So yeah so it was absolutely a little bit crazy.
kidding.
So it was nuts. And then, you know, through college, I became that go-getter, and I do attribute it to the people who were weirdly rooting me on, because I'm like, all right, Erica, you still got people behind you. Make them proud. And and so that was sort of the course. And then my mom and my story is its own, like, it took on a life of its own in terms of her path, because, you know, if you're listening this far, she is now and currently still a part of the homeless community. So she, you know, not shelters, like under an overpass. So that is her space. And I'm so much more comfortable talking about it now. But like, had you asked me 4 years ago, I would have, I don't know. I just felt this weird abandonment.
It's uncomfortable. Like, what are you going to say? Like, there's no way to, like,
There's no way to be politically correct.
My mom's homeless.
Right.
It's a true. Yeah. It's so crazy.
And just, I'm sure even saying those words out of your mouth, you're like, what am I saying?
Yeah.
So how could you say it to someone else?
Exactly. And then some people are like, oh, she doesn't have a house right now. And then sometimes it's like, oh, she should find a shelter. But there's this weird conversation that needs to be a bigger one about the addiction to a lifestyle where you don't have that responsibility. And for a woman who, oh my gosh, like, it's so crazy. Before and after is what kind of hurts people or gets people or gets them emotional if you knew her, because she was not necessarily like, you know, normal. She was this, to me, my idol. She was my idol. Like, this woman taught me everything I knew, to be the most classy, you know, luxurious, upscale, like, this was our lifestyle. And this is what she taught me. And I think there was this point where, you know, the last material item that she had, her home, was like taken from her. And with that comes an entire life shift. Mm-hmm. And it took me so long to understand it. But, you know, 2 years ago, I think two Christmases ago now, my fiance, who was instrumental in us getting back together, like my mom and I seeing each other because I didn't see her for so many years because it was hard to get her on a plane or a train. He like stuck it out, finally got her, you know, her and I to reconvene. And it was really this beautiful understanding and almost like needing to complete the past and accept this new woman and also see her and be proud of her and let her know that I'm here for whatever lifestyle she has. But two Christmases ago, she was sort of able to walk us through her life in the community. And it was so surreal because I remember all she wanted to do was show us this space, this, ironically, a storage unit. And, you know, we had till this certain time. She was so passionate about showing us, like, you know, like almost like a little kid would be. And we, luckily we made it there on time. She didn't let us into like under the overpass area, but like obviously we just met at the corner somewhere and like she was able to show us this storage unit where she kept all these things. And then like it was so crazy. She walked over to this like piano and we had this stunning baby grand piano in our formal room, dining room growing up. And we sold it, you know, weirdly while I was gone that year to probably pay for other things. But this one is obviously was not a baby grand, but it was a piano nonetheless. And it was sitting there and she got on and started playing she couldn't play the piano. So I didn't expect that. And then all of a sudden she just, like, I have it filmed, which is the craziest part because I just felt I needed to be, but she started playing and it was so beautiful that I was like, Mom, wait, how are you playing the piano right now? And like, she looks at me and she's like, oh, I play the piano. I can play every note. And, I also know how to drive a forklift. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was so weird, such a nothing sentence, but I don't know why it struck me that I was like, oh my God. She's like learning to do all these things, that she is so proud of. And, you know, I was able to share, like, I'm so proud of you and I'm happy. And she like talks about freedom in a weird way.
Yeah.
She weirdly helps the community there.
Oh,
big fish, small pond. I'll never really know, but she just was free, I guess. And
so you think that she is part of this because it just allows her to be completely free after going through everything that you guys went through?
Yeah, you know, I think a part of her was like, okay, you know, she's 19. My younger sister was a few months from turning 18, and I think
so. She wasn't like legally abandoning you.
No, she was done raising them in a sense of
I'm saying is you can't do that if a child is
young, right?
Under a certain age.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many angles, right? And it's all subjective. You know, to one, it's like, yeah, you left me and I wanted my best friend and this trajectory of a mom. And I went through college in a house of six girls and their moms were there every, you know, there's all of that. But then there's also, wow, you're your own woman and motherhood is tricky and losing everything is scarring. And so I have to approach it with understanding. Now, I'm not 100% always an angel.
None of us are.
I have boundaries, right? I have boundaries and I get frustrated. I get so frustrated often, right? Because how it's like, it's crazy. A little bit, it's like so crazy. Right. But, you know, there's times where it all sort of comes together and we're able to do things like on the road to this wedding. And ironically, I will say, she has read online, she like Googles often about passion to paycheck.
Aww.
My fiance's mother will be down that week because we have a bridal shower the next week, actually. And so she talks to my fiance a lot more. Like, I'm very busy, and obviously that's not necessarily an excuse, but sometimes because you love a person so much, it can take you out of what you're trying to accomplish.
We all have those family ties that messes with you and your psyche, and you have to stay in the zone. And,
yeah, so there's the irony of my fiance talking to my mom more frequent than
what a good man.
Even me.
So she has a phone now.
She does. And in fact, that was the condition 5 years after, was I was going to allow for her and I to meet again if she was able to keep a consistent phone number for 5 to 6 months. And it made so much sense to her. And I think she saw the commitment that I had to, like, if I know that I can call the same number for this long,
there's security.
I'll allow, a visit, if you will. So ironically, she might, and, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, but she might be down to meet his mother. There's a chance she could even be standing, which is so crazy, at Passion to Paycheck, because if you were to ask me 9 years ago, all I thought about was, wow, I don't know what it's going to be like when I get married, not having my mom. Uh-huh. And weirdly, like, I have her, and it's not the same, you know, mom, especially inside of the planning and everything, mm-hmm. that I would have thought of when I was 12, but it's something. Mm-hmm. And so
your mom.
Yeah, that's the present and me discovering what that means even for my life. So
right.
It's a really crazy sitch.
Do you think she's going to come to the wedding, or?
Yeah, I do. I think she'll be at the wedding. I don't know. I'll share, like, she was at my younger sister got married 2.5 years ago. She was there, and she was very shocked. And as you can imagine, my immediate family group are all the people that we spent our lives with for 20 years. So I'm a little, you know, there's nerves. I'm sharing really, really, really authentically here.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this is honesty, which is, I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
Well, getting married is hard enough. Like, getting married, all of this stuff is hard.
And then you add everything you've been through and everything you're still dealing with.
Right.
That's a whole nother bag of,
yeah, but there is such a sweetness and a good intention to her love, Like, she just loves me. And we got engaged in this very public way, which I did not know was coming. Mm-hmm. But he managed to get her here for the engagement. And it was on, like, ABC. It was, like, the craziest thing of my life. But she, one, there was a lot of shock. Two, my friend group, he brought every freaking person. Like, my entire friend group was there for it. It was like this treasure hunt through Disneyland.
Oh, she, cute.
They embraced her with so much love that all she could talk about after was, like, in this such a sweet way. I can't describe it. It's like an endearing way. And it's also a role reversal and a role shift for me inside of what it means to be a parent and a daughter.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh my gosh, you know, Nicole was so nice to me. Like, she hugged me. She just hugged me so many times. And I was like, everyone loves you, and
it has been to see that.
So long. Yeah. Like, nobody, you know, nobody is in that space, and so it'll be an interesting, like, it's baby steps to the reintroduction of what life is now, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, you have family members who are also, you know, her siblings. It's like, some of them haven't talked in a very long time, so there's so many dynamics, and like, I'm sure everyone can relate. You know, someone doesn't have to go into, you know, homelessness to relate to not agreeing with the decision someone's making in the family. It's
complicated.
Yeah. It's always
relationships
complicated.
Are complicated.
And family is complicated.
Oh, family is the most complicated.
So hard.
Especially, like, with our roots, because it's, like, truly, like, embedded in us, and those cords we have through blood are
totally
so heavy.
It is nuts. So it's just really, really crazy. But I've developed, you know, there's all these side roads that came out of this where my dad and I, like, I was never athletic. I danced. My sister was the one who was sporty. So they always had this relationship, my sister and my dad. After he went through his recovery and his rebuilding of his life, that man is my best friend. Aww. And I don't know if I'd be able to ever, I don't know if that would have ever happened. Like, it's crazy. Like, for my birthday last year, I'm like, you know, what are you doing this year? I go, you know, I think I want to take my dad to a cabin and just like spend the day on the lake. And it's exactly what I did. And it's so, so awesome. Weird, but I want to. Yeah. I don't know how many people can
say that.
I'm so proud of that. So there's weird little relationships that I would have never had.
Things came out.
Had none of this happened. Exactly.
So. And they say, and it's crazy, there's always some kind of, you were saying earlier, like silver lining, even like with the universe. It's like,
I have a gold line. It's so beautiful. Yeah, like that. Even friends, like, you know, those family friends or distant cousins that you don't really ever know,
right?
Like, I had no there was such a necessity to connect with these people, right? That I was like, wow, this is invaluable.
Yeah,
so
that's amazing. Yeah, and we appreciate you share that so much.
No, thank you.
I mean, that whole story, I don't know what to say. There's
I told you.
Oh,
I
said,
I'm like, there's no words, but no, but you know what? I think what's beautiful about the whole thing, Erica, is that. It was so crazy.
It doesn't end in hate.
Yeah.
You're not like angry or resentful.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're not bitter. You have such a great outlook. You've obviously taken so much away from it. How you said all these little roads, all the things that have happened. Like, obviously there's still so much more continuing from it that you're figuring out. It's obviously strengthened you so much.
Yeah.
Who you are and what you've created. Like, you should be truly proud of yourself for how you've come out of all that.
Because
there's some people, like, let's be real, that look at something and like, I'm a victim to that. They immediately play the victim part. But they do. And listen, in your situation especially, I would not fault you for wanting to go down the road because it's a I cannot even pretend to relate to that.
Totally.
You know? So it's like, for you to sit here and not only share that real talk and be that authentic for our audience, but also, and obviously for us, but also just to see it in yourself and see how well you are personally doing and the steps that you've taken and what you've created, it's like, girl.
No, I love you. Thank you. And it's,
you know,
it's funny because I started discovering, once I felt all this gratitude, I weirdly started discovering this, like, space. And what I realize now is, like, oh, it was the, like, creation space, you know, the crystals and the law of attraction we were talking about earlier. And I just, I don't know, I realized that that space was creation. If you're not creating, you're resisting. Like, anytime you're resisting, it means that you're not allowing yourself to be somewhere or do something or create anything, because so many people were like, don't you feel guilty? You got to go back. This is your family through the process.
Right.
Like, that was difficult. My own dad was like, we got to go find your mom. And I can't tell you, it was like God, source, whatever you believe in. I was like, I truly believe that if I become this best version of myself and if I focus on this, regardless of these weird selfish feelings that I did have often, something good's gonna come from it. And I was able to just meet everyone on the way up.
Yeah.
And it was like,
well, and you actually got into a space where you were able to align with your mom. And I think it's very beautiful that you said that, because we also don't realize that sometimes you do have to step away from things in order to be able to be in a space to be able to take something on, no matter what it is in life.
Totally.
And so you were smart to recognize that and be like, no, I'm not going to get into that right now. I need to focus on me and do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I will get back to that and I'll be in a much better place to be able to understand and accept that.
Totally. And it's hard with those boundaries, specifically familial. Like, if you love your family.
Oh, no. I've had these conversations with Amanda all the time. I love my parents to death, but like, now having a baby,
they
don't understand the line.
And I can imagine.
I have to try to draw boundary after boundary after boundary. And it's like, I know it's all out of love and I love them to pieces. They're my parents, but like, I am my own parent now and I need to do certain things on my own, and I've had to draw, and we are still struggling with that because they are trying to find their new normal with me and they're trying to find those new lines.
Yeah. And it's just so like, I know that the circumstances change, but the theme's the same. It's
it is.
Young adults and just adults in general.
Right.
There's this line of fluidity of like, when do these roles shift?
Right. When do they shift? How do they shift? How do they play out?
What does that look like? Yeah. No,
I mean,
absolutely.
Are you in charge of her kid? Like, what is your relationship like with her now? Because I feel like it seems like you are more of the parent now, which has got to be like really tough.
Yeah. No, I feel like, so it's funny because I think one of two things happen when you're growing, if you will. You either your parents are like permanent parents and they're trying to tell you how to live your life, or you weirdly become best friends. And a lot of my girlfriends, like, their mothers are just, it's such a friendship. And I always kind of wanted that. And I have that with my dad, which is really cool. So I've stepped into that, like, oh, I want to hang out with my dad. Like, let's all go do something. Let's couple it up. You know, he has been seeing someone for a few years now, which I love her.
That's so great.
Yeah. So, but with my, it's very interesting with my mother. It's neither of those things. Just, I think because of the reintroduction, I think when she visits, because she has visited us, you know, we have.
Is she like nearby or?
No, she's even further north than where we grew up. Oh, okay. So it does take her a bit if she was, you know, if she was going to visit. However, she has visited a few times and I always can rely on day two. It's so funny because my fiance jokes like, just wait till day two. After that immediate, like day one.
Of her, he seems like a saint, by the way.
Oh, he's amazing. No, he's like this. When I say, I don't know how I found, it's like all real. I do not know how I found this beautiful, beautiful human that's my other half. But but yeah, so she'll, it's like day two, she becomes like her again, and we have this like playful relationship. I've asked her for advice. And to be really truthful, what the reason I can't talk so often is because, you know, with anybody who is, I don't know, living an alternate lifestyle, maybe their mindset's shifting. There's good days, there's bad days. And oh my God, how adorable.
Allie just walked in. She had to go upstairs for a second and get Lily.
I had to get Amelia Ray, my daughter.
You're the most gorgeous, beautiful human I've ever seen, baby. Oh my God, I'm gushing. Wow. And the cycle begins. Yeah, exactly.
You're going to screw up your kid one day, too. No, just kidding.
You're so cute.
I'm terrible.
So much. Oh my gosh.
Little PJs.
Sorry, I'm gushing over this because she's
in no,
no. Hi, honey. And she's smiling
at you.
She has like 100 teeth now.
She
I just
has
realized.
Teeth now, yeah.
Like 106, oh, same thing.
She's so cute.
Thank you.
I love you so much. You're so cute. Anyway, but yeah, so it's always like there's times where she reminds me of the same person that I grew up with, which is the most difficult part for me because it's nostalgia and it's a reminder.
Oh, I get it.
Of that. And that's the wrestling part. So we talk, I think it's so subjective depending on what is she visiting? Is it for an event? Is it just a phone call? It varies. And I'm trying to embrace like the uncertainty of not really ever knowing what I'm going to get. And I think that's also the perfect pairing with my relationship with my dad, which is this consistent, constant, reliable thing. So I think that helps me with the, like, you know, the heartbeat and the rhythm.
Yeah.
And then give or take, it's always kind of hit or miss. And I don't know how we'll connect ever with my, like with my mom. And sometimes it's beautiful. She's advised me over the past couple of years when I'm really in distress. And this is such a testament to motherhood. When I am in distress and really losing it, or like I had this huge health scare last year. All of a sudden, she got herself on a bus. She arrived the next day.
Of course she did.
She was...
I'm happy to hear that.
It was incredible because this instinct of forget everything I'm going through. What matters is my daughter.
Oscar.
If that makes sense.
Oscar.
So, like, she then sort of becomes the person that you need... You know, just sometimes you're doing these podcasts and you're having a moment and you're crying and your husband is doing the dog bark and you're like, there's no way to do this properly. And it is what it is.
It's amazing.
As they say.
I'm happy we've made it this far.
Yeah, we did, right?
I mean, we've been recording for a while. Like, Amelia has even slept for most of it.
No, I know.
Okay.
I
appreciate she said like her mom showed up. Like I believe most mothers that instinct, especially for me as a new mom, it kicks in. Like
it
immediately
does.
You're like, I need to be there for my baby, no matter how old they are.
100%. And that's what I found like reliably. I know that if I ever am at that edge and that point.
She'll become the person you need her to be.
I mean, yes. And she's been there. She really has. Like she even helped me through this trying, like, you know, I was in this position to make decisions inside of my career. I think it was like 2 summers ago. And there was this week of just chatting that I really enjoyed. And I'm just thankful for those times.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for those times, because sometimes, like, within the homeless community, like, you know, she talks about doing this research there, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of years of research if that's what you're doing there. But sometimes she'll talk about that, and I think that she's also documenting and writing. She's extremely smart as well, which is, oh man, it's always a hodgepodge, right? At the end of the day, like, there's times where I break and I'll be like, just get out, just stop, just please, like, go, like, anything, we will do whatever. And
so she doesn't want to, like, live in an apartment somewhere.
No. And a testament to that is we were chatting a lot about, you know, what it would look like to get an RV. And this is a common misconception. She and her, you know, partner that she has now work. Like, she works every so often. He works steadily.
What?
And, right. See, so this is the craziness that people don't really know about the homeless community, is some of them have jobs, and they actually bought a car, which my fiance and I didn't understand, and we just couldn't understand
That's so, like, I'm not, like, judging. I'm just, like, it's like, I'm afraid to sound judgy with this, because not judging. I'm almost impressed that, like,
no, I've heard this before, too, that there are some people, like, they're kind of voluntarily homeless, but they do have things around them that, like, could allow them to not
be. Right. So let me, so I should probably tell you as well, like, she's, it's voluntary homelessness. It's not like, oh, I have to be this way. There's no, like, cups on the street involved. Like, there's, like, a life, like, an out to dinner on an anniversary.
I know.
And it's so strange. It's like people, it's not, it's so uncommon.
And it's like looking at you. So this is great for a podcast, but Erica is gorgeous.
Oh, I love
her. She has, like, perfect hair. She's in this gorgeous pink top. Like, if you get from,
there's a radiate positivity.
Thank you.
You would never look at you. I know exactly where you're going. You would never look at her and go, oh my God, this is, like, what you went through and what you're still living.
Yeah. No, I got it. That's why it's so ironic, is because it's so crazy, because the people who knew my mother growing up, too, they're like, oh, you are this version of, like, thank you very much for saying that, because I like to embody, you know, just keeping with class and grace and love.
Yeah.
That's like, all we were taught. Like, my sister and I also have a great moral compass. This is ironic that every single year, without fail, my mom had this thing that she liked to do where we would pack up all this stuff and go to San Francisco and just give back to the homeless. And it was so crazy. But, like, yeah, so for me, I mean, especially with the stuff that I'm involved in the public eye, if you will, it's just been, one, there's a perception of the people hearing this and they're like, wait, you have a homeless mom? And I'm like, and then there's the other side of it where, you know, there's public libraries and there's the internet's accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
And once I started opening up about this story, there's this whole other storyline where I'm sharing my experience as it happened. And some of that includes, you know, things that are personal and family. And, you know, my mother's able to read some of that. And it's like, wow, how does that affect what I share? If she's like, well, this is why, really. And I'm, you know, or like, oh, I didn't like the way that this was worded somewhere. And I'm like, listen, what's true for me is true for me. This is my experience. And I have nothing but admiration, respect, and love. And I hope it would never land for anyone like, she left and I don't understand. She left and I do understand. And it's this new normal and world for me. So it's just, like, so crazy, so nuts. I mean...
Yeah. No, I always say that because, like, my husband and I will, like, have arguments and he'll be like, I didn't say that or I didn't mean that. I'm like, yes, but that was my experience on
it. Totally. This is how it landed.
And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what your intentions were. It doesn't matter what happened. Like, this was my experience. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or, I mean, not even just, like, in general. It's like, I will look back at things and you kind of wonder. And I'm like, yep, it's your experience. It doesn't really matter what the reality was.
Right.
It only matters what your reality of it
exactly.
was.
Exactly. Like, this was my life for 7 years, and now I'm sharing and I'm talking about it. So, it's been so interesting.
It's funny, amazing.
Once I started sharing vulnerably, that is all of a sudden, not only was it freeing, that's like a given, but it also landed with my audience so, in a way, it just landed in a way.
Because you were authentically you.
Expected. Yeah. So now it's like, I mean, bringing it full circle, my whole brand, and like, especially the Passionista's book, the Passion of Paycheck brand.
All of this will be linked in the show notes, by the way. Oh, so awesome. If anyone wants us, like, just, well, yeah. It's linked.
There's such a stream of sharing the things that you just don't know from Googling a person. Because if you were to Google me, it's like, I don't know that any of this comes up. Maybe, you know, a public talk I gave on YouTube. Sure. But none of this is in a Wikipedia. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, my vision is, hey, mainstream media, can we talk about these things? Like,
I think it's so important. And I think it's so important that no matter what your challenge is, to overcome it. Because I think that, like, I'll hear your story, or I'll hear about, like, other people. Like, do you know Lauren Everts from Skinny Confidential?
Yes.
So you know her story about her mom.
But I know her and the podcast.
Well, you have to go.
She did a podcast with Dr. Drew came on her podcast and they talk a little bit about it. Yeah. But her mother died by suicide.
Yeah.
Which is hard. It's known in the public. So I can say that I'm not saying anything that she hasn't. And there's, for anyone listening, by the way, you can look, she writes about it on theskinnyconfidential.com.
Got it. Wow. We should connect.
Yeah. And when I heard about that, I was like, I had a new respect, like, even though that hasn't been my experience or your experience hasn't been my experience, I think we all have challenges.
Oh, absolutely. And when you hear about them, you get to know a person in a whole new way and you just relate to them.
You relate. That's the key word. You relate. You immediately are like, oh my God, you're a person to me. And I feel for you and I see all these layers of you.
Yeah.
You'll think like if someone can overcome A, I can overcome B. And I think that's so important.
Well, I got chills.
I see that.
It's the truth though. I think that like in our weakest, and not just my, like I know other people too, people go through things. And to just keep pretending that everything is perfect and everyone has this perfect life,
we don't buy it.
No, we don't buy it. And we all realize now, finally, I think most of us, that social media is a highlight reel. At best. Like, it is. People have no idea the lives people live, the struggles people go through. And again, you see someone for 1 minute and you immediately judge them, because that's what we do. We judge. We don't always mean to judge, but we judge. And you look and you're like, oh my God, look at them. And they have this bag, and look at their self together, and look at the person they're with. And the list goes on. Totally. And again, you just go through all these things in your mind and think, this is what they are. And I have already created in my head the story of you, even though I have no fucking clue who you are, what you do, or what, you know, where you got to, where you are, and what's happening. And so I think I love that you said, like, to us, that in the public eye, like, you are trying to share more and more of that realness and of that vulnerability.
And the funny part is, you're exactly right. People will learn about you whether you're intentionally teaching them or not.
Right.
So if you're going to share things like on your platforms or in interviews or anywhere, know that someone's going to learn from it. So may as well share authentically and have them learn things that are relatable about you.
Yes, that's right. And have them take away something that maybe potentially, like Amanda said, can inspire or empower you to feel, they went through this, so I can do that. And that's what we're all here for.
Yes, like I've never known as much as I know to my core, in my truth. No one is ill-equipped. No one, like, all these barriers and boundaries, I don't have a website, I don't have a link, all this stuff. It's like, you have exactly what you need between your two ears and probably in the people around you. Go. Ready? Go. Go.
I love that.
Like, people are sitting, like, and it's like paralysis, right? Mm-hmm. That's fear, and they don't have this to start.
Amelia's chanting you on.
Yeah, girl. I love you, Amelia. And it's like, wow, no, I really know. You don't have to own much. There's so much you can do. Like, I never felt like I had more. I never felt more rich than having literally zero to my name.
No, it's true, though. It's like, you don't know what you can survive until you've survived it, until you're tested.
Yeah, I joke, like, this happens, you know, those midlife crises that people talk about. I was just fortunate enough to be tested at, like, 18, 19. Just texting the fiance.
It's on.
Oh, great.
We took a little break. And we're back. So tell us about From Passion to Paycheck. This is obviously the second part of a two-parter. We're not the things we're too lazy to blog about. I'm not doing this as one episode because we need it as two.
I love it.
This is just such a story. It needs to be.
It's two.
We want you to come back and listen to more.
No, that's great.
But so really quickly, how did you get into broadcasting? And tell us about From Passion to Paycheck.
Yes,
So I got into broadcasting. This is ironic. So I was graduating college, having just finished an internship at a radio station.
That's amazing.
And I became the youngest ever marketing director for Entercom Broadcasting.
Amazing. Wait, do you know Megan Holliday?
No, this is the San Diego market.
Okay, it's Sandy, because she is, I think that's who she's
Megan
with.
Holliday.
She was a previous guest. Oh, no, San Francisco. Hey, let's confuse San Francisco and San Diego, because I'm kind of a moron. It's the other one.
We're so cute. So I actually started on the air and on a morning show. I was called Intern Erica, but it was only because I was young. That's what they named me. I wasn't actually an intern, trick of the trade. And then I actually stepped into this marketing director position role, which is crazy because if anybody knows anything about corporate America, this director role usually comes after 5 to 10 years. It wasn't the most smooth because a lot of people quit. They were like, she's so young, to hell with it. It was just crazy. So I was obviously in radio then, still doing the on-air stuff. Once the on-air stuff sort of, tapered back, there was more music mornings and just less room for personality work, I was able to pitch these vlogs, which I hosted on the platform. So we had three radio stations, three different formats, enjoyed it and loved it. However, I knew there was sort of this bigger calling, this personal brand that I wanted to pursue. So I actually, while I was full-time employed, day job to dream job, made these connections with Fashion Week there and the late night show. And so I pivoted and began co-hosting Fashion Week year-round and working on the late night show, and then was able to transition out of radio broadcast, but still stay on their roster to cover all of their red carpets.
That's amazing.
I just enjoyed it so much. And it's always been my whole life. I love entertainment. I love doing this for a living. It's just my favorite thing on earth. And then combined later with the entrepreneurial stuff, Passion to Paycheck was born from the television space that I work in combination with the book and other personal development work I've done. So right now I'm with Average Socialite, which I freaking love them. So I'm the entertainment reporter for the LA market, which has been really cool. Integrating that into Passion to Paycheck and just establishing even more of a partnership, because when I'm in something, I'm like, how can I amplify your platform? So I've been loving that. And again, just combining the two and taking our keynote speakers have always been TV personalities because that's my background. So getting to hear from the people you're watching every day, people like Kelty, who you know really well, what they're really going through has just kind of become the passion of my life or something along those lines.
No, it's amazing though. It's such a good event. Like I said, Allie and I go to a bajillion events and nothing sticks out of my mind. And I never
it's
go
true.
To.
Everything feels the same. And Amanda called me and was like, Allie, you have to go next year. This event is game changer.
There's something about the energy.
Oh my God. I can't wait to have you. I'm so excited.
There's something about the energy there. And I felt it gave me the entertainment industry is so hard.
Oh, 100%.
It's so cutthroat and it's so, again, can be fake. And there's just so much to it until you get through, again, what you were saying earlier, Erica, the underlying and all those layers. And you find those people at Kelty and things like that, that it can be really discouraging and it can be really hard. And you said when you came out of Fashion Project, you're like, Allie, I am
this
lifted.
Is amazing.
I love you.
She was so.
No,
I'm
that's
truly,
so.
I was so happy. I went.
No, wow.
Amazing. It's funny because we're starting an advisory board next year, which will be anyway. So maybe there's some room for Amanda.
No, I would love to. I thought it was so. And I was actually invited to some other panel thing. I'm like, oh, not another panel. Because I feel like no panels are not going to be as good as yours.
Oh, I love you. Yay. Well, I'm excited. So, just like the brands, we're co-presenting with Bumble Biz this year. So they're a partner. And
I know I have to get on that.
Oh, yeah. No, you need to.
Oh, you know what? Former guest and editor of A Sweat Life does their Chicago thing. Gina Anderson Cohen.
Oh, no way. So
if you're ever in Chicago, so let me know.
There's like so many endless possibilities of overlap.
There's so much synergy. It's fabulous.
I know.
It's no, I just have to say that like I love supporting women who support other women who support other women.
We're all about supporting other women and how helping each other grow, because that's what it's all about.
So, oh my god, yeah.
We only have a few minutes, but if you could just in 1 or 2 minutes, and we'll link it in the show notes, tell us about your show. Because if you could not attend it, there is you now have a show.
Online. Yeah, streaming and now.
Yeah, streaming.
We are on Apple TV. So,
And Roku, I think.
Yes, Roku.
Apparently,
as well.
It's also. Yeah. I actually got rid of my Apple TV and I have Roku. So shout out Roku.
Out Roku. So Passion to Paycheck was picked up last year. Thank you so much. By a network called Focus TV. Now transitioning to EverTalk. So
I know it's a little confusing.
It's a little confusing. I know. But it's interesting because it's the same sentiment of every single one of our guests, public figures in the industry, etc. It is the stuff that you cannot find on the Instagram feeds of the guests. So you can always find that on focustvnetwork.com/passiontopaycheck or all the Passion to Paycheck info you could ever want at passiontopaycheck.com.
Again, links are in the show notes.
Yeah, they're going to be linked in the show notes. And of course, any little last bit that you'd want to leave with our listeners, maybe a tip, maybe a little tidbit, just a little nugget of something from you. Not going to get gold this whole
No, I love it.
I know, this is amazing.
Just something to leave them with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I guess like what comes top of mind isn't like a put together quote or anything, but it's just the same sentiment that we just talked about, which now I'm going to take into the rest of my day to day, which is you have everything you need. You have everything you need to start whatever you want to start, to get through whatever it is you're going through, and to be the person that you want to be and live that fulfilled life now. I think I like experienced it, and now I can say for certain, like having experimented on myself, everything you need is already within you. And it sounds cliche, but it's just the truth. So if that inspires one person to know they've already got everything they need, then
I love that.
I'd love that to come through.
And as we always say, be fabulous.
And be yourself.
And be yourself. And be a passionista.
#passionista.
Bye.
Taught them both how to Jane Fonda.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get your booty on the dance floor. Work it out. Shake it, little mama. Let me see you do the Jane Fonda.